Good morning to everyone. Happy Sabbath to all of you. It's great to be over here with all of you this beautiful Sabbath morning. If I grimace a few times when I move up here, I've been mulching at my house the last couple days, and I've never been this old when I've done that. And things didn't seem to repair themselves as well overnight as they used to, so if I move kind of funny and grimace, I'm okay. I'm just old. Houston, we have a problem. Now, those are five words that most of us probably recognize. And some here, I'm sure, can remember when those famous words were first said and who said them. And if you aren't old enough maybe to remember when that happened, you may have seen the movie with Tom Hanks that recounted when that happened. Now, some of you may remember that event well enough to recall where you were and maybe what you were doing when you first heard those words on a news broadcast, on radio, or on television. Houston, we have a problem. Of course, those were the words of Apollo 13 commander James Lovell when the three astronauts who were on board a mission to land on the moon on Apollo 13 ran into serious problems approximately 56 hours into their flight when they were 205,000 miles from Earth. The lunar landing was quickly aborted as the focus of the mission quickly became a coordinated effort between the personnel at Mission Control on the ground in Houston and the three men on board the Apollo 13 spacecraft to try to save those three men's lives. Course changes were quickly made as Apollo 13 was forced to slingshot around the far side of the moon to begin its very uncertain journey back to Earth. This critical flight path change put these three men at a record for the furthest distance humans have ever traveled away from the Earth, when at the farthest point they were 248,655 miles from planet Earth. That record still stands today, 47 years later. Now, despite incredible hardships and challenges caused by limited power, loss of cabin heat, shortage of potable water, as well as a need for them to make critical makeshift repairs to the carbon dioxide removal system, the three men on Apollo 13 returned safely to Earth on April 17, 1970. It took approximately 90 hours for them to return safely back to Earth after Commander Lovell radioed to Mission Control, "Houston, we have a problem." Now, many times throughout the incredible ordeal that kept the lives of those three men on board Apollo 13 hanging in the balance, literally, the situation looked hopeless at best. But the one thing that both the people at Mission Control in Houston, as well as the three astronauts themselves, never gave up on was the hope that they would return to Earth safely. That hope was the catalyst that kept the flight crew, the mission controllers on the ground, and the support personnel working together under extreme pressure and impossible time frames to engineer the procedures that the crew used to save themselves from certain death. The Apollo 13 mission was called a successful failure and later became known as NASA's finest hour. The crew of Apollo 13, as well as the mission control team on the ground, were awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom for their combined efforts to bring those three men home safely. Now, although the situation seemed absolutely hopeless many times during that 90-plus hours it took to bring the crippled space capsule back to Earth, hope was a vital component in the eventual outcome of the Apollo 13 mission. Now, hope is a word we all use on a regular basis. And if we think about it, we may say the word hope almost every day in our casual conversations. Like today, when I saw that State Highway Patrol pull out behind me, I said, "I hope he's not going to give me a ticket." And then he did. But we may say things like, "I hope this new recipe I tried from Pinterest will taste good. I hope it's sunny tomorrow. I hope we get some rain soon for our garden. I hope this coffee will keep me awake. I hope I can get this stain out of my shirt when I stop and eat Wendy's on the road. I hope I don't catch cold from being out in the rain. I hope my baby takes a nap during church today. I hope I don't take a nap during church today. Now, hope is a word we may use quite often, but may not be one that we think much about. I hope to change that for all of us today. Hope is a vital component for us in our walk as a follower of God's way of life. We are blessed to have great hope for the future that those not yet called cannot experience at all at this time. The knowledge and understanding of who and what God truly is and what lies ahead through His perfect plan gives us the blessing of great hope for the future. As we watch the events in the world news, as well as what's happening right here in our country, we see just how hopeless things would be without the hope we have through God's calling us and opening our minds through His Holy Spirit in us, as we heard in the first message. The knowledge of God's plan gives us great hope, a hope that the world does not know at all at this time. It gives us the blessing of being hopeful and not being hopeless. Brethren, we are blessed to understand that the certain outcome for faithful followers of God's way of life, those true Christians who endure to the end, is entrance into the everlasting kingdom of God. That truly is hope. Now, today we're going to look into the Bible and see why hope is so important to a Christian's life, as well as to each of our spiritual growth. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you don't necessarily need to turn there. 1 Corinthians 13, often referred to as the love chapter, concludes in verse 13 with this statement, certainly very familiar to all of us. 1 Corinthians 13:13 at the end says, "And now abide faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love." These three, faith, hope, and love, are considered to be pillars of a Christian. We often hear about love, and we know it's one of the fruits of the Spirit, listed in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. We also often hear about faith as we read and study Hebrews 11 and other scriptures on faith. But we may not as often hear about, and we may not as often think about, hope and why it is listed here by Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13, right along with faith and love. Merriam-Webster defines hope as desire accompanied by expectation of or belief in fulfillment. Hope is desire accompanied by expectation of or belief in fulfillment. Don't we all truly desire to be a member of God's family? And that deep desire is accompanied by our expectation and by our firm belief in the fulfillment of that desire. That is the hope, brethren, that lies within each one of us. The hope we need to have is knowing with all our heart that everything we fight in, all the things we deal with day in and day out, the trials that we endure, the challenges that we face to follow God's way in Satan's world, will be nothing compared to what God has in store for all of us in the future. It is the full expectation and the firm belief that the sorrow and the despair that permeates this world today will all end. It is knowing and picturing with our mind's eye that wonderful world to come. Why is it so important to have this hope lying within us? Why is that important? Because knowing the wonderful things to come will help us to endure the trials that we come across in this physical life. No matter what difficulties come our way, we can gather the strength to persevere when our hope is secure, rather than surrendering because we have lost hope. Several years ago, the University of California at Berkeley, and I've decided when I research messages, if I want to find some odd study, you just Google Berkeley, because they do the oddest studies, I think, at Berkeley. But anyway, several years ago at the University of California at Berkeley, they performed an experiment involving Norwegian field rats. And again, why Norwegian field rats? I don't know. I don't know if they're smarter, if they're dumber. Rats could have got a California rat, but they used Norwegian field rats for their experiment. The rats were placed in a tub of water where they were forced to swim until they grew exhausted and finally drowned. During the first experiment, the researchers discovered that on average, Norwegian field rats were capable of swimming for over 7 hours before drowning. I told you they do weird studies there. Then they did a second experiment that was conducted exactly like the first one, with one exception. When a rat was getting too exhausted to swim any longer, the researchers would remove the rat from the tub of water for just a few seconds, then put the rat back into the water to continue swimming. These rats were able to swim for almost 20 hours before perishing, almost three times as long. The researchers concluded that the rats in the second group were able to swim much longer than the first group because they had hope. They had experienced a rescue, and what kept them going was the hope that they would be rescued again. Now, sometimes trials may come our way that seem like more than we can bear. We might feel like that rat, like you just can't go on. But if our hope in the final outcome is secure, we can gather the strength to get through any trial. We are promised a rescue by our great God, and it won't be a rescue for a few seconds. It will be a rescue for eternity. 1 Peter chapter 1 is a passage that refers to this rescue. It is a message of hope. Turn, if you would, with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll begin reading here in verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll read a number of verses here beginning in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, verse 6, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. In verse 13, therefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you as holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Now there is a lot for us to think about and to digest and to meditate on in these verses here in 1 Peter. They are both encouraging words as well as a reminder for us not to conform to the world around us. We are to live differently than those not yet called by God, and it should be noticeable. Have you ever traveled to a foreign country where you look very different than the folks in that country? We were in Thailand some years ago, and we joked how well we blended in among the native Thai people. Of course, in reality, we were very easy to spot, and we sure could not blend in with those around us. And it can be that way for us sometimes. We just don't totally blend in with those around us who are not yet called by God. And that is how it should be. We are to be different than those around us, and it should be noticeable. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 12. We'll spend a little bit of time here in the book of Romans. Dr. Guy did the same thing, so we were somewhat on the same wavelength. Turn to Romans chapter 12, if you will, and we'll read just one verse, verse 2. Romans 12 and verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We can't be conformed to the world and following God's will at the same time. God's Spirit in us transforms and renews our mind and gives us great hope for the future. Now turn to Romans chapter 5, back a few pages to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, we'll begin reading here in verse 1. We'll read verses 1 through 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God, and that hope will not disappoint us. The trials, the challenges, the difficulties that we face in our lives produce the quality of perseverance that we all need. It develops God's character in us and gives us a hope that will not disappoint us. That hope we have is secured by God's love poured out in our hearts by the precious gift of His Holy Spirit. Turn out of Romans chapter 15 with me. Back to Romans chapter 15, and we'll read verse 13. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God wants us to abound in hope by the power of His Spirit. What a stark contrast this is to the hopelessness of the world around us and the hopelessness of the whole world. We should be filled with hope through the power of God's Spirit living in us. We worship and serve the God of hope. That should fill us with joy and an inner peace that those around us just cannot experience at this time. We can take great comfort in the future if we have our hope in God and in His promise firmly in our minds and firmly in our hearts. Turn now to Romans chapter 8. I promise we'll get out of Romans here in a bit. Romans chapter 8, we'll read a fairly lengthy section of scripture here that applies. Romans chapter 8, and we'll begin in verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? Verse 25, but if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit, verse 26, also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are of the called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And verse 30, moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. Brethren, our hope is in God and what he has promised for the future of all humanity when Christ returns to establish God's kingdom here on earth. Our hope requires faith and it requires perseverance because it is a hope for what we cannot see right now. Our hope is in a better world to come, and God's Spirit in us secures that hope for the future. Now let's read a passage from the prophet Jeremiah, back in Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah 29, and we'll read verses 11 through 13. Jeremiah 29, and we'll begin in verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. These certainly are comforting words for all of us to hear. Our personal relationship with God gives us a future, and it gives us a hope. And Jeremiah had a long, enduring, and very close relationship with his Creator. Over time, he certainly learned to rely on and trust God to give a positive outcome to many of the sore trials that beset him and his ministry. Godly prophets who tell the truth about national conditions are generally not popular people. In spite of that, Jeremiah put God first. He knew and obeyed God, and his personal relationship with his Creator gave him great hope. As we continue to grow spiritually, we will grow to know and obey God more. And as our personal relationship with God grows, so will our faith and our trust in him grow, and our hope for the future will increase. Turn now to the book of Psalms. With me, Psalm 31. Psalm 31, and we'll read verse 24. Psalm 31, verse 24. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. You can jot down Psalm 39 and verse 7 if you like. Psalm 39, verse 7 says, and now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. Now, there are a number of other verses in the Psalms that talk of having our hope in God. The world around us is on a hopeless path of destruction and despair. We all go through some very difficult and challenging trials in our lives, and a firm hope in God is needed to finish the race that God has called us to run. Sometimes it may be hard for us to see the finish line of our race, but a solid hope in God and in his promises can and will carry us through those low points we have on our path to his kingdom. Knowing what lies ahead is a great source of the hope that lies within each of us, the hope that we need to continue on the straight and narrow path in our lives. This point is illustrated by the story of Florence Chadwick. Now, some of you may know that Florence Chadwick was the first woman to swim the English Channel between England and France in both directions. She was also the first woman to swim the Catalina Channel from Catalina Island to the coast of California. The challenge of swimming the Catalina Channel was not only the distance of 21 miles, it was also the bone-chilling, shark-infested waters of the Pacific Ocean. On July 4th, 1952, at the age of 34, she made her first attempt at conquering the Catalina Channel. The water was ice cold, sharks prowled around her, and the fog was so thick over the water that she could barely see the support boats that followed her. The distance and dense fog made it impossible for her to even get a glimpse of land. Hours into her swim, her trainer encouraged her to keep swimming, telling her she was almost to the shore. But when Florence looked ahead, all she saw was fog. She saw no land in sight. After nearly 16 hours in the water and only a half a mile from shore, she asked to be taken out of the water. She had swam 20 and a half miles. Without being able to see land, she gave up hope and quit just short of her goal. And afterwards, she told a reporter, look, I'm not excusing myself, but if I could have seen land, I know I could have made it. Not being able to see her goal caused Florence Chadwick to lose hope. And 2 months later, she tried again. It was another day like the first attempt, icy cold water, sharks all around, and dense fog once again. But this time she made it because she kept reminding herself land was there, just keep swimming. She broke the old record by more than 2 hours as she became the first woman to ever complete that swim. She had hope burning in her mind, and that hope helped her overcome all obstacles and achieve her goal. Brethren, our day-to-day trials can sometimes create a fog that masks us from seeing our ultimate goal, the kingdom of God. The hope of Christ's return of God's kingdom here on earth should burn within each one of us. It should be like a fire that cannot be quenched. Among other things, hope is a vital component that helps us to press on and helps us to go forward and to keep our eyes firmly fixed on the goal God has in store for us at the end of our swim through this life. Much of having hope is constantly being reminded of the expectations God has for us and being reminded of the promises He gives for those that meet those expectations. Turn, if you would, back to 2 Peter chapter 1. Back to the book of 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 1, and we'll begin reading here in verse 3. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, verse 5, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, verse 10, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Reminders are never a bad thing in our Christian life, as we read here from Peter. Verse 13, yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. And verse 15, moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. That is what we are doing here today, being reminded of expectations God has for us and being reminded of the future, things we can have great hope in our lives. The message of the Bible is a message of hope, not a kind of wishful thinking hope, but the solid assurance of hope that the Bible calls an anchor. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. And we'll read verses 9 through 12. Hebrews chapter 6, and we'll begin in verse 9. But, beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you, yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And now, if you would, skip down to verse 17. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation and have fled for the refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul. The hope we have, brethren, should anchor our lives. It's an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, in which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. The hope that we have in God and his promises for us in the future should be the hope that anchors us spiritually, helps keep us from drifting away from following God's way of life. As we read in Hebrews 6 and verse 19, the hope we have is an anchor of the soul. It is sure. It is steadfast. Turn now back to Psalm 71. Psalm 71. And we'll read verse 5. Psalm 71 and verse 5. For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. And skip down to verse 14. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. There are quite a few scriptures that encourage us to set our hope firmly in God. Having our hope set on God is a blessing, and it is a great comfort in all of our lives. Let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah 17. And we'll read two verses 7 and 8. Jeremiah 17 and verse 7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Once again, it says here, whose hope is in the Lord. We should be like this tree, anchored by our roots of hope in God, and we can survive any challenge in our life. Hope in God will help us not be fearful as the conditions of the world around us continue to deteriorate. Hope in God will help us not be anxious as we watch world events unfold. Hope in God will help us to yield the peaceable fruit of God in our lives, the fruit of His Spirit. We also should teach our children to have hope in God as well. As we're teaching them about God, to love God, to fear God, to be faithful to God, to obey God, we can also teach them to have great hope in God, the same hope that lies within us, that anchors us, the hope that is an anchor for our lives spiritually. Turn now to Psalm 78. Back to Psalm 78. Now this psalm is a good review, of course, of the many miracles God performed for the Israelites, as well as the contrast between the mighty works of God and Israel's habitual unfaithfulness and disobedience. Psalm 78, and we'll read the first 8 verses, where it talks of the responsibility that we all share in teaching the generations to come. Psalm 78, and we'll begin in verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. Verse 4, we will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God. And not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright, and whose spirit was not faithful to God. Part of teaching the generations to come the praises of God and his strength and his wonderful works is to teach them to set their hope in God, as we read in verse 7. We all share in the responsibility of teaching the generations that follow us about God and His ways and the great hope for the future that we all share. Turn now, if you would, to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Romans 15 and verse 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. How comforting is that, brethren? Through the Scriptures, through God's Word, is how we have hope. We not only learn as we read our Bibles, but we also gain comfort and hope for the future. Our hope for the future should be secure if our hope is in our Heavenly Father, God and His Son, Jesus Christ. During the 90 hours from when Commander Lovell aboard Apollo 13 radioed the fateful words, "Houston, we have a problem," until the tiny space capsule splashed down in the South Pacific Ocean, the astronauts and the ground control crew never gave up hope. Hope in their abilities to engineer and develop the procedures that were needed to overcome every obstacle in a seemingly hopeless situation and bring the three men on board back to Earth alive. Of course, their hope was in the men and women on the ground and the astronauts themselves. We know that, in all them being able to perform the seemingly impossible. But it has been said that without that undying hope that inspired many to overachieve in quickly developing the procedures the astronauts needed to perform to save themselves from certain death, the mission would have ended in disaster and would have been a total failure. Florence Chadwick had hope that burned inside her as she overcame all obstacles to achieve her goal of successfully swimming the Catalina Channel. Even without being able to see land, with her goal obscured, she accomplished her goal by never giving up hope. Hope can be a vital component in the success of many things on the human level. And humanly speaking, it is not wrong for us to hope for things in our lives. But for all of us, the hope that we need to have is the hope we have touched on today, the hope we have read about in God's Word. Of course, we know that hope is needed, and we know that hope alone is not enough. Much more is required of us who have answered God's call and who are striving to live His way of life every day. Yes, we must have hope in God, and we must have great hope for the future, but our hope must include many things. Now, for those of you who have been wondering, where are the points in this message? Because I'm a points kind of guy. It keeps me organized. Here you go. Here come the points. If you're taking notes, you might want to write down, our hope must include one time, because that'll save you a lot of writing. And I've listed just 8 things that our hope must include. And there are, of course, many more. Our hope must include reliance on God. Our hope must include obedience to God. Our hope must include repentance and forgiveness. Our hope must include understanding God's plan. We get a chance to experience that once again here in 2 weeks on the day of Pentecost. Our hope must include understanding God's plan. Our hope must include faith in God. Faith in God. Our hope must include love for God and man. Faith, hope, and love. Our hope must include love for God and man. Our hope must include belief in God's promises. God has promised us many things. We have to believe in God's promises. Our hope must include that. And our hope must include a close relationship with God, one that we work on and develop each and every day. Our hope must include a close relationship with God. Now, there is much more for us to learn about hope than we've covered today. The Bible is filled with scriptures that give us great hope for the future. The God we worship, the God we serve, is a God of hope, and that anchors our lives. Let's conclude now with Romans chapter 15. Now, I know we read this verse earlier, but I'd like to read it again as we conclude. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Romans 15, verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Brethren, that hope is the hope that lies within each of us.